The following podcast is scheduled for one fall with no time limit.
Super Hot Fire!
The greatest spectacle in podcast entertainment, Mr. Nestlemania!
That was literally verbal diarrhea. I'm setting the bar awfully low. Titus O'Neil keeps running directly into that bar. Get him off my TV, get him off my TV. You make me very angry.
The man who has a better IQ than you, the awe-inspiring JC!
You should go work for WWE because you'd be so up far on Vince's
no,
butt.
No, no, no,
oh, you are
no,
such
no,
a
no,
suck
no,
up.
No,
you defend everything, all the bad moves they make.
This is the Jobber Knocker Podcast.
What's up, jobbers, and welcome to the latest edition of the Jobber Knocker Podcast. As always, it's Nestlemania alongside, for the right, is a man that always yells, yeet.
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 JC.
Yeet. Yeet.
So
we're
going
to get to that because that was the greatest thing in WWE history. Not kidding.
We got a lot on our plate. We got Fastlane. We've got NXT versus AEW Live. We're going to try to have some reacts while this goes on. It's going to be fucking bananas tonight, folks. Hopefully you're watching side by side. JC's got the great setup on the couch tonight.
Yeah, I'm on the casting couch, baby. It's not just Nestle. I'm on a casting couch as well. I got NXT here on the left. The WWE intro just hit. AEW on the right. They're still on Big Shit Theory. I got Dana White Contender Series, and I got you guys, so I'm going to be real focused tonight.
Oh, my gosh. This is going to be fucking ADD Central. Holy shit. So I guess the best place to start, if we're going to get into it, is probably get into Fastlane, right? Oh,
absolutely,
wait.
Yeah.
All right, so let's start off on Fastlane, folks. It was five matches. Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso start off the night hot, beating the Judgment Day after 20 minutes, 40 seconds, and they are your new Undisputed Tag Team Champions. I did not expect this at all.
I don't think any of us saw this coming. This was a huge shock. This is probably the best match of the night. Because I thought it progressively went a little downhill from here for the most part. But obviously, it's had some controversy with the Judgment Day, with JD accidentally taking out Priest's leg, and Cody and Jay took advantage and won the titles. But Nestlemania, them winning and all that is whatever. We hit off the top because
yeet,
yeet,
yeet.
You know what happens when you're the first match of the show? You win some championships, then you go on the bus for 3 hours. Before you have to go out to a press conference, you might throw back a few to celebrate. And boy, did they ever. If you guys have not seen the press conference with Jey Uso and Cody Rhodes, just at least watch like the little mashups. It is super entertaining stuff. It's what WWE could hope for, these press conferences, these clips going wild. But you can just tell this is just two guys just having fun. We can talk about Cody with the story or whatever, or Jay with his own story. But this was just two dudes having a blast out there. And that's what you love to see when we watch wrestling, man, is we love to see the performers enjoying it as much as we do.
Look, I did not really think that they were going to win. And then when they won, it was like, holy shit, what are we doing here? But like you said, I go back and forth on Cody with his large vocabulary. And when he said, I got to be honest, me and Hoot had some libations before this. And I went, who the fuck uses libations, right? He's almost like Ronda Rousey with his diction. It is unfucking believable. I had to look up what libation was because honestly,
you couldn't
like,
figure it out with the context.
No, I know what he meant, but a libation or two would be like, why couldn't you just say the word I had a couple in me? Or like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just
because he's Cody. That's why we love him, is he's unique.
Yeah, unique. He's got a thesaurus coming out of his face. Like, it's just like unfucking believable. But anyway,
a little jealous.
Yeah, my vocabulary is very limited if you couldn't tell. But it is interesting for sure. So again, they are the highlight of that entire thing. It was fan fucking tastic. The scrum was so much fun. It's wonderful. Going back into other things here, if you're done, you want to move on? You want to talk more about the story?
Oh, yeah, we can move on. I'm just watching that Cody fire up the crowd right now, you know?
Okay. Do you have closed captioning on so you can tell what's going on or not?
I don't. He's about to cut a promo. I wonder if I can figure that out.
I'll start talking if you can figure out closed captioning, if that's what you want to do, because I have closed captioning on mine, but I can't watch both of them. I'm watching Bryan Danielson enter the ring right now. Here's the thing.
Scoreboard.
The thing that I really don't understand is are they derailing Cody? Are they making it part of the story moving forward? Like, is Jay going to have a hand in Cody winning the championship this time around? You know, there's so many things they could be doing here. So it's very odd to me.
We're so far away from WrestleMania. It's like, that's April. We're in what, fucking October? They got to do something we've been talking about for like a month, like a couple months. Like, they have nothing to do for Cody. And it's like, Well, now they found something fun to do for this. Obviously, we know it's a little twist probably heading into War Games, but this is something that TJ brought up in the chat, our knocker chat, right after it happened. It's a good point. This is a great way to have Cody regularly appear on SmackDown, as well as Jay, which means, you know who else is going to be on SmackDown this Friday? Roman Reigns. So they can continue to drop the hints. Like, we'll get into what Michael Cole was doing on Monday. But I think it's one of those things. It's putting him and Jay together is interesting too, because obviously they have a similar goal. So, you know, that'll probably create some conflict in the future as well. So what they did is pretty much they had Cody doing nothing and they put him on this timeline where there's a whole bunch of branches and different places he can go. So honestly, this, I didn't see it coming. I didn't expect it. And if you would have told me before it would happen, I probably wouldn't have wanted it. But now that it's happened, I'm like, there are a lot of things they can do with this. So I think it's exciting for everyone.
It is exciting for everybody. And the other thing that that definitely bears repeating here is that Jay continues to become a bigger part of the show. And I think that's the best part of what we can kind of spill into what happened on Monday Night Raw. But yeah, I think that that's a really awesome story for him, because now he's starting to get a little bit more acceptance. It does seem like we're headed towards War Games, so everybody has to be on the same page. But that was a banger of a main event on Monday, I think. And, you know, again, it's so fascinating to see Jay with those tag titles without his brother. It's just bizarre. All right. You're clearly...
I'm trying to find closed captions. I've never put them on before.
Oh, my God. You know what I put on closed captioning?
I'll just talk to the remote. Closed captioning. It's on now. There we go.
There you go. Yeah. All right.
I love Comcast. Shout out Xfinity.
All right. Anyway, so we got Swerve and Daniel Bryan, or Bryan Danielson, depending on who you talk about. But it is what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'd rather watch Cody. It sounds like he's announcing the Dusty Cup.
I would imagine the Dusty Classic is what he was going to say. So I'm sure he got a giant.
He just won the tag title, so there's a little correlation.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. Adam Burtsky is in here with us in the Joe Stopper. God bless everybody that's here with us. If you guys hear something or say something and we missed it while you're watching the simulcast with the NXT or AEW, please put it in the chat. Please text us, whatever. We'll talk about it while we hear it. But again, full steam ahead as we go on. Moving on to Fastlane. Again, Carlito re-debuts. Carlito and the LWO beat Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits 10 minutes flat. Clearly, this is all about Carlito. Great to see him back. Jacked the gills. We've always been Carlito guys on this podcast. I've been Carlito guy for a very, very long time. Very interested to see what happens here. I always loved Carlito's work as a heel more than a babyface. He can fly around with the best of them, so he definitely has a babyface moveset. But man, he is going to help so many people in that promo department. I mean, if we could have Carlito's cabana back, I mean, there's so many things that you can do with him, especially on SmackDown. I think him interacting with the Bloodline would be very interesting to me, I think.
Give me him with Grayson Waller, like all that stuff. Like, it just, there's so many possibilities with him. And I mean, he looked gassed to the gills, baby. He's ready to go. He's in great shape. But it was weird how they did this match. This is probably, honestly, my second favorite match of the night, despite being a five-man tag, because Carlito really didn't come out till the very end, and then he just got the pin. So it was pretty much like a handicap match, which made it kind of like weird the way they decided to do it. But it's a device, the way they did it. I don't know if I would have done it like that, but it still worked. Carlito got his pop. He's back. We're all happy.
Anything else you want to add to there? I feel like the LWO to me is kind of a lackluster faction.
I think this gives it a little life. And this, sure, you know, Carlito's someone who also can maybe instigate a Rey and Santos thing too as well. So I think it's an extra dynamic to consider.
No, that's a good point. I didn't think of that, but I will say that we've always been begging for Santos to be a heel, because he's so good on the microphone in terms of
Carlito. Yeah. Teaming up.
That'd be great. You know, it works on so many different levels. But I, like I said, it makes SmackDown a little bit more interesting because of, again, fresh new matchups. Like we talked about last week, always help when you're watching the same shit over and over and over and over and over again. So, couldn't be happier for Carlito. Moving on to the third match of the night. This is where we get a little funky. Io Sky defeats Asuka and Charlotte in 17 minutes, 20 seconds. I'll be honest with you. I was not happy with this one. I thought Io did a great job. I love the finish to this matchup. I thought that was fucking fantastic. Out of the figure eight with the best moonsault that I've ever seen in my life. Lands on her, wins, you know, just survives in terms of beating these two women that are destined, you know, basically Hall of Famers and move the needle when it comes to the women's division. And we know that we love Io in this program too, but I just want to see her break away and just do her own thing. And I feel like it's time. We need to get to that point.
I'm wondering if we might be seeing Cody wrestling in NXT tonight, Nestle, because Dragunov interrupted him, and now we got Dirty Dom interrupted him. So this is typical, like, as we're watching, if you guys are following around, just to, like pause our Fastlane thing. AEW starting with a match like they often do. WWE starting with a big promo segment. It's kind of fitting and showing the two different examples of how the shows operate. So
it is interesting because, I mean, they're putting on Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson versus Swerve, which, again, if you're watching this match, it is
Swerve's
very hard.
One of the hottest wrestlers going in the company for them.
Yeah, and I mean, he's doing yeoman's work right now against a man who is an insane human being and believes there is no free will if you really have a conversation with him. The illusion of free will, excuse me. But watching these guys go back and forth, this is something. I mean, this is hard hitting stuff on my end. I can't watch everything we're doing. But should we go back to the rest of it?
We can get back on track. Yeah, I don't have anything to say about the women's match. It was junk. Let's move on.
John Cena, LA Knight defeat the Bloodline. 17 minutes 20 seconds. This was clearly a amazing night for LA Knight. It's the biggest match of his career. That's what they're saying. I am curious. It was to me a very pedestrian match, but you know. Listening to the media scrum afterwards, John Cena said, you know, this was a good feeler out for me to make sure I know where I am in my body. And I got a lot of work to do, which made me go, okay, so I don't think we're going to get a Cena singles match. I don't think it's going to happen in this run. I really don't.
It's interesting because obviously it feels like if it did, it would be Jimmy or Solo. I feel like Solo might be saved for the future. And maybe I could see it just, yeah, you're right. It feels like it depends what they do for Crown Jewel. If they do like bring AJ back to go after Roman here, or if they do like a 6-man tag where it's Roman and the boys versus like Cena, LA Knight and AJ, like I wouldn't love that, but I could see them doing that. But it's like, I think Roman's defended the title like what, once since WrestleMania. So It's kind of a joke at this point, but we all knew that was going to happen. I don't know. This was about what I expected from a Cena, LA Knight tag team match. It got the crowd. It was fun, but it wasn't anything special.
And moving on to the main event, I can't believe this is the fucking thing. Seth Rollins beats Shinsuke Nakamura, 28 minutes, 25 seconds. That was a rough watch for me. Everybody said so many great things about it, but I think we've talked about this in the program. I think that it's an illusion that everybody thinks that this is a great matchup. I am so done with this. I'm more excited where we're headed to what happened on Monday and where we go forward with that. I think that's wonderful, but... last man standing we've talked about besides a cage match is very, very difficult. You all right?
Yeah, no, I agree. This match didn't do much for me. It was long. It didn't truly hold my attention. It had some interesting spots, but I don't know. Just one of those things. We both of us have been very honest. We have not been invested in this. I'm just glad it's over. We got a reasoning why there wouldn't be a cash in attempt, but it just like, it's one of those things. It's like, it kind of even took me out of it even more. Cause if you're not even going to, if we pretty much knew the cash in wasn't going to happen, it's like, then why the hell am I supposed to care about this match? You know? So, cause I didn't think there was any shot Shin was winning, but I just like, we got to get on to new things with Seth. And we did on Monday.
All right. So overall, it was 1 to 10. What do you think Fastlane was?
5.
That's being generous in my opinion.
It's about as average as it could be. I mean, I'm not typically someone who will like bash something low scores unless if it's really bad. I don't think it was outright bad. It's just, this was a nothing. This was probably would be the lowest on my PLE ranking for the entire year. There wasn't much here.
I, you know, full disclosure, we did watch this with our boys, Birdsky, Backcracker and the Joe Stopper. So I feel like sometimes it does feel like,
helped me pay attention more, because if I was by myself, would have been on my phone. I probably would have flipped over to some football games. Like, so if anything, I think for this one in particular, it actually helped me pay attention.
I just know sometimes I feel like when you watch with your friends, it always depends, like your friends kind of make the water murky in terms of like how you feel about your own.
Well, you get kind of groupthink with things. Yeah. I do agree with that.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, I would say, 4.55. It was definitely not a strong pay-per-view. I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that will, you know, praise different portions of this, but not for me. All right. Getting into the regular parts of the show, as you're staring at something, I can only assume.
Well, they just announced something. I was just trying to read the captions.
I think it's that they're going to tag up tonight or something. I don't know. Who knows?
I think LA Knight's a referee that's what I saw. Cena's here. There he is. Man, they are just, it's funny. Like AEW has just had this one match and WWE has shown like 5 of their biggest stars.
Of course, he parks like an asshole too because he's John Cena. It's like,
yep. Oh, you throw it on?
So I'm kind of cheating
Wrestle's
here.
Wrestle's already changed the channel. Look at that. NXT with the point early.
I'm cheating here because apparently I can watch what I should be doing is watching NXT with the captions and watching AEW without the captions because it just makes more sense. But I can't deal with this. This is way too much. SmackDown was kind of
SmackDown. It was all lead in for the Fastlane pay-per-view. There's nothing to talk about on SmackDown. So WrestleMania, when we go to the Shine, we have to start with Monday Night Raw. And I didn't really think where I was going to start this week. But you know what? I'm going to start here because you know what? I'm going to start with my girl because I love the Tegan Becky match. This is the kind of stuff I'm asking for. Just give people we don't see a lot. Let them wrestle. Give them a chance. Remind people what they can do. They gave her a nice little hype package before to remind the haters like you of the struggle and the fight that Tegan's gone through and why you should want to root for her. And I mean, look, it's one of those things, like if you think about it, when's the last time Tegan's probably had a match on TV for that long? Like it's one of those things. It's like, obviously it's like riding a bike for them and we'll get these at house shows sometimes, but it's just like, it's probably been like 2 years since she's had a match this long, probably maybe even since NXT. She's probably never had a main roster match this long. So, but again, this is like with the 3 hour show of Raw. And like, we've seen it a lot with Ivar the last couple weeks too. It's just like, just let these people, you employ them all, let them wrestle and like show the fans like, yeah, this is why this person has a job. They're good. We have a 3 hour show. So now we can be invested in more people. And it just makes everyone better when you do stuff like this. But I thought it was great. I know you probably didn't like the tap out, but it's like it was baby on baby. So get over it, Nestle.
I don't have to get over anything. I don't like the tap out in general. No. I'm just saying right now that this is the part that I actually really enjoyed the matchup, but a baby face should never tap. That is my...
But it's another baby face. It's baby on baby, bro.
No. You could have found it. No,
John Cena and Cody Rhodes should never tap out. But the other baby faces, sometimes you tap out because it's realistic.
You're gonna
someone snapping your arm. You're just gonna let them snap your arm all the time? No, you shouldn't. That's stupid.
You're gonna let somebody who's gone through two major knee surgeries, who has definitely never quit in her life. She keeps going, and then her first chance at something, she just quits. I don't think it helps.
That was a long match. She was in that thing for a long time, Nestle. You can't break your arm. Then what? Then she's out another 6 months. Come on.
Well, I'm just saying.
Lipstick, Nessie.
Nessie, don't call me Nessie. All right.
Don't call me Nessie.
Don't call me Nessie. Oh, good. Shotzi's here. This is fun.
Shotzi, just as she.
What are we doing?
I don't know.
This is almost like a variety show now.
It's just like trot out everybody that's ever been at NXT.
Oh my God, Jesus Christ! Oh, that was a beautiful transition for Daniel Bryan. Sorry, I can't do it. I got
UFC over here just started too, so it's just we're on overload.
So for anybody who gets to just enjoy watching two screens right now, I envy you.
Well, hopefully we're on your third screen.
Well, that's true. Hopefully. And if you're listening to this after the fact, I apologize for the ADHD with me because it's tough.
This is what people wanted this week. We're giving the people what they want.
Anyway, so something that I really thought was kind of interesting on Raw was right out of the gate, the Mac comes out and says, I want this. I'm just going to tell you to your face. And this is the thing. And all I could think about was, that's a breath of fresh air because usually we have some chicanery. He just flat out just fucking told them. And I was like, okay, cool. Like we have 4 weeks to get there. I'll be interested in how we get there. That's wonderful. But they did a great job with him being like, I'm just going to tell you how it is. And that's it. Although later on in the night where Rhea had a plan and talked to him in the background of a promo, I thought that was great. Triple H is so good at that kind of stuff where he puts the crumbs in the background and makes you think. And of course, by body language alone, which I love, you could tell that Mac was, putting his hands back, listening while she was giving him the 2 cents. So I think it's like based on the illusion of what you see, then Seth Rollins has a problem and then it will lead for, weeks to come. So I think, again, a small crumb, but it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and this is exactly what I've been asking for because it's like we finally have a credible opponent for Seth Rollins. Like you have a former multi-time world champion. We said literally last week, like he's one of the most interesting things, if not the most interesting thing on Monday Night Raw right now, like this whole like Drew thing. So I love that it's linked to Seth. It makes Seth more interesting. It makes that title more interesting. But with Drew, I'm curious how this plays out because you saw Seth call him out being like, look, you were going to let me beat down. And then all of a sudden when it was suddenly my championship might be in doubt, that's when you kind of like stepped up and Drew was like, yeah, get over it, buddy. Fuck you. And I love that. I love this new Drew. I love this attitude. And obviously, like, we know he's probably not going to win at Crown Jewel, but maybe Crown Jewel is where Priest cashes in, because they've done stuff like that at Crown Jewel before, and Drew's kind of the way to get there. Maybe after the match, he flips out on Seth, and that's his true heel turn, and it just hits. So I think there's a lot of possibilities with this. I love that they went this direction, because I was worried after the Shinsuke match. I'm like, if they're not going to Cody, Jay, Sammy, or KO, where are they going? And I love that they went right to Drew, because it makes sense, and he's doing great work.
All right, what else you got?
Well, here we go, WrestleMania, because I'm going to do something new this week with hashtag JC's Meat Match of the Week, because I did like your nomination of, since Bronson Reed was in that match, a lot of meat on the one man. But that isn't my JC's Meat Match of the Week, because I actually got one from Saturday Night. All right, all right. Saturday Night. All right, all right, all right. AEW Collision, which got lower than Rampage this week because it went up against Fastlane and College Football, RIP. But if you missed this match, then you missed hashtag JC's Meat Match of the Week in WrestleMania. This was a timeless match. JC's Meat Match of the Week is Tony Storm versus Kiera Hogan, because, you know, meat can come in a lot of different shapes and forms, and sometimes that meat really locates itself on one part of the body. And for these two women, they got a lot of meat on that one part of the body, if you know what I mean. Tony even took a little taste of Kiera's there during the match. But this is a fun match. I mean, the timeless Tony Storm gimmick, we got the whole noir entrance going on with her. This is one of the better gimmicks in AEW right now. It's been such a good change for her. Someone who's never really been able to find a character in her career. This is a home run. Kiera's starting to get matches every week on Collision, and I'm loving it because she's super talented woman and hasn't really got a lot of opportunities in AEW. So it's nice that it's like quietly Collision allows us to have like one, two or three Seger like women's match every week. And this week it was Tony and Kiera. We had a lot with Stat recently. And it's something I'm really enjoying from that show, because again, it's like, let these people wrestle. Especially the woman we talk about all the time. Like, that's why I really wanted to highlight Tegan getting the opportunity on Raw. I love Kiera getting the opportunity on Collision, because it's just, this is what we've been asking for. So when they actually do it, we have to acknowledge it. So the next time they cut the woman short and we bitch, it isn't hollow. It's like they have been starting to do it. So, but this match was awesome. If you haven't seen it, I definitely check it out. Hashtag JC's Meat Match of the Week. First time ever going to a women's match. So congratulations, ladies.
Lean meat, if you will. But I will. So since you mentioned it, since my tweet was kind of very interesting, I am interested that, did you enjoy Bronson Reed's win?
I did. I think this makes sense, because I love what they're doing with Gunther right now. Is obviously we had the lawn feud with Gable, but now he's just kind of firing through opponents. And I kind of love it. Him just knocking down dominoes. And I mean, him and Bronson Reed in WrestleMania. I mean, spoiler alert for what JC's Meat Match of the Week probably is going to be next week. There's going to be a lot of meat slapping in that match with Gunther and Bronson Reed. But look, at Bronson Reed's a guy that I think has been underrated on Raw. He puts on good matches. He obviously has a very distinct like look and moveset, which we always dig. So I'm glad he's kind of getting this opportunity here. We obviously know Ricochet's headed in a different direction, so it made sense of him not winning this. But I just kind of love it. I love that we have these like fresh like opponents for Gunther, and let him just keep knocking down the dominoes, notching those notches on his belt.
Should we take a pause here and talk about what has just transpired at AEW?
Yes. I was kind of half paying attention.
Hangman costs Swerve the championship shot, and now Daniel Bryan
is continuing, huh?
Yes, so that is a big deal right there, and it seems like it's not going to go away for a while. I like that Swerve is going to continue here going against Hangman.
It's a nice, very good match. It was the best match of WrestleDream. So
yeah, I mean, it was, I mean, Swerve's screwing Swerve kind of fits the narrative of what he's trying to go against, so I think it works personally.
And we get Christian versus Bryan Danielson. That's going to be a banger.
And we got Sweet Tooth, Samoa Joe over here with his slow-mo packages. So
yeah, I don't care about
Hello,
that.
My name is Samoa Joe. Great.
I think Asuka just beat Roxanne. Yes, she did.
Well, I mean, that's, you can lose and look good anyway, so it is.
Oh, yeah, no, that's what it's all about. And Asuka's one of the top stars in WWE. I'm trying to tell if she used the mist. She's like, she looks like she was grabbing her mouth, but I don't see like the residue. So maybe
I think she choked her. I think she had the Asuka lock in, and that was
okay.
But I'm sure you'll get a replay in a second, so you can watch all that. But moving on to something else that I wanted to make sure that we talked about was Ivar versus Kofi in the Viking Rules match. Now, listen, I was upset there was no boat on the side of the ring like in previous decisions, because that to me is the grandeur and the grandness of the WWE that they do. But it is what it is. Again, not necessarily hate it, but I thought that Kofi did a fantastic job. And the end of it, that's what I really love, was the end of this matchup, because I thought Ivar just looked like a fucking stud. And that's what we need here. We need just the way he looked was amazing. So I was very excited for him. And just keep going, Ivar, because this is going to be a lot of fun going forward.
Yeah, I love this. I've heard from like multiple people, including Huge Wayne, even texted, been like, watch that match. That guy's awesome. And it's just like, I love being able to tell people, yeah, he's from around here. Like he's a stud. So it's kind of cool that people are kind of, he's getting that notoriety. So, I mean, he deserves it. Like these matches have been great. Him and Kofi have great chemistry, and him getting the win, I think, is just so huge too. But I just, again, this is when Raw is at its best. When we're getting these types of matches mixed in with people we don't get an opportunity to see a lot, get the chances, because more often than not, they're grabbing those opportunities.
Huge Wang texted you?
Yeah.
Bizarre.
And it wasn't a dick pic.
I'm sure it wasn't. Okay. Any other positives that you've got so far?
I did enjoy the main event. But I didn't really love that KO showed respect to Jay already, because I was kind of hoping that might kind of linger for War Games to kind of give us the controversy. But it feels like that that's over with, and these are like the four best friends now, Cody and friends. So, but I did it. The match was fun. I love that KO and Sammy got the rematch, because, again, I like when things make sense. They should be upset that these two guys who have never been a tag team took their opportunity and won their titles that they just got screwed out of by Judgment Day. So I like they're a man. I love that Cody and Jay are like, yeah, we'll fight you tonight. So it was a good main event. But I think it made sense. But I'm curious to see the direction with War Games now. If it is a Bloodline Judgment Day team up versus Cody and friends, I guess we're going to find out more on Friday when Roman returns. So
I would imagine that they should stay away from each other, because there's enough members of.
Yeah, but they literally made the alliance on Friday.
I don't know. I'm not excited.
Paul Heyman acknowledged mommy.
Yeah, well, he had to, clearly. So, is what it is. This is the low point in which I feel like NXT versus AEW is kind of like, for me. We got Hobbs entering the ring against Jericho.
If you're going to call Powerhouse Hobbs a low point, I'm going to come across my screen and slap you in the face.
Oh, well, we got the Brawling Brutes and
Gallus. This is going to be a banner match, bro.
Six-man tag. Get the fuck out of here with that.
Like wrestling for once in your life, bro. Come on.
I do like wrestling. You got to keep my attention. Clearly, that's all I'm saying.
Tyler Bate doing the Sheamus entrance. I love it.
Tyler Bate. Sorry, I just love that stuff. So something I did want to bring up that I thought was very interesting here as well is on Monday Night Raw, we had a match where I don't know how you feel about it, but for me, I thought it was very interesting. Which was, I'm sorry, it was not a match. It was the attack from DIY and Imperium. Now, I thought this was a very interesting concept. I thought it was great that they were kind of doing the back and forth with, Imperium, just kind of coming out of nowhere. And then Wade Barrett, out of Dodge, as they made fun of him for. But I was very interested. Like, they made it seem like there's nothing going on there, and then automatically they turned on the switch. It was very odd. Like, do we really have, like, there's nothing really for Johnny to do. So it's like, okay, here we go. DIY, we're in it. They're trying to make them a real tag team, but then fucking the boots happen. And it's like, it's kind of just like, it feels like it's so fast for me when I was watching it, but it was a really well done segment. I just feel like it was hard for me to get kind of attached to it in a way. I don't know.
I think it makes sense though, because obviously Ciampa's been feuding with Imperium. So now he's got his reinforcements. And I mean, look at like these matches are going to be fucking bangers. So I can't wait for those. And we didn't even talk about it, but Ludovic got a package WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I love that. I mean, dude, I think they know that he's like a star. And I was watching this. I was like, oh my God. If it isn't Gable, what if Ludwig beat Gunther for the IC title? I don't think he will, but it's just like, I kind of love that they're just kind of like, they kind of like highlight him, because I think they know it's like, this guy is special. So they gave him a little something. I thought that was cool.
It was weird because someone made a great point where they just feel like he's doing Vinci's gimmick better than Vinci.
I mean, I said this to our boy Wes, was tweeting at us. Shout out Wes, because he loves Imperium. Biggest, been Imperium since day one, before anyone liked them. I said to him, like, I hope Vinci just brings back the Vini Vidi Vinci, the pauses with the smiles if they're going to do it. Because at NXT, it was such a short-lived run. The dude has no charisma, but that entrance gave him charisma. So I was like, if we just get a tease of this shit, if like Ludwig's doing like his model thing, then we have Vinci doing his model thing. It's just like, I'm all in, baby.
To both Joes talking about my hairline and my Gargano hate look, I don't hate Gargano as much as you think.
It doesn't show.
All I'm saying is if DIY is the tag champions, I feel like it's going to be a while. Like they need to run through some people before they get those tag
titles. Yeah, so we're starting with Imperium.
Yeah, I feel like I want Imperium to fucking win already, win those tag titles. But it just feels like we're never going to get it. That's what it feels like. They'd rather sacrifice Vinci and cut that out and not give him a tag title. It's unbelievable to me because Imperium is more of a tag team to me than DIY is, in my opinion.
I think until they stop making them undisputed tag titles, that they're not going to be on actual tag teams. They're just going to put them on Top Star so they can put them on both shows.
It's a good point. I'm not a huge fan of it, but I agree. It makes perfect sense. Anything else? Or would you like to get heaty? Get him off my TV. Get him off my TV. Get him off my TV. Where do we begin? Seth Rollins didn't even sell his entry from Saturday in his front promo. I really thought that was stupid considering he considers himself one of the best in the world. Yet he forgot to walk with a limp, had a bruise, an abrasion, anything, folks. Didn't do anything there. It made me feel like, why the fuck did you go through 28 minutes of pain to come out looking like you're fine? I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of that. And I just, the little things matter to me. Little things matter.
If Drew didn't come out during this segment would have been the worst part of the show. But because it's just like, I don't know. Thank God Drew's involved. It just, Seth needed a little flair in his life. Cause yeah, I didn't like that either.
What else did you like?
I'm actually going to head over to Collision. Ooh. And because the lowest rated Collision of all time had a title change on it in WrestleMania. FTR just unceremoniously dropped the belts to Big Bill and Starks. And yes, I know they're injured and they had to do it, but it's just like, you do this match and it's unexpected and it kicks off the show when no one was watching. And then you're on fucking tonight on Title Tuesday. You only have two titles being defended. You could have done them tonight and that would have got a fucking big pop. Like, people see FTR loses. That's the way I'd change the channel and be like, oh my God, I got to see how that happened. So it's just like, I thought that was a big miss by Tony and AEW.
I mean, it seems weird that they're putting it on a hodgepodge tag team. We hear that our boy Wheeler is hurt. So again, they could have waited till tonight. It's what, 3 days after the fact?
Exactly.
But I don't know. I think the other thing it's weird to me, and I maybe I'm wrong about this. I probably am. It feels like they were pushing Ricky to be a single star and then randomly he gets a tag title. It's like, it's probably because of all the work he's been doing and being a professional, but it just feels like it just doesn't fit him because he seems like a singles guy.
He definitely is. And that's why that was also kind of a bummer too. But I think it's just like, they know Ricky's kind of like been the guy that stepped up, especially without CM Punk. And they're like, let's just give him something. Cause Christian has his TNT title. That thing should not go anywhere anytime soon. The guy, I mean, he's been a stud, especially when you got MJF doing more of tag team bullshit. You kind of needed Christian to become the A-champ. And then, I mean, the international title, as expected, just has gone completely downhill since OC lost it. So I don't love it, but I think it was something they wanted to reward Ricky. They wanted to do a shock, and they probably needed some transitional champions to eventually get him back in the Bucks.
So I don't know how you feel about the Bucks being, you know, in the conversation again. It's almost like it feels like it's either the Bucks or it's either FTR. It seems like that's where we're headed for now. You know, it's like, I don't know. It's bizarre to me.
I think they're just going to end up on the Bucks. I mean, FTR is going to be out a while, I think. I think they're going to take some time off. And I think it's for the best because, I mean, obviously we know the Bucks became the number one contenders. And FTR and Bucks, it just happened so recently. I feel like when they do it again, you got to let it breathe a little bit. So it kind of works out this way. But I don't know. The Bucks have had such a weird year because they've been so much part of the trios thing and it hasn't been interested and they were suspended. So I don't know. It's weird, but it's like, it'd be nice to see them get their tag team mojo back. Cause I think without FTR, like there's a big hole in that tag division at the top.
They haven't, you know, for something that AEW stood on for a very long time saying they'll have the best tag division. I keep saying this, but it feels like it's FTR, the Bucks, and that's all they have now. Like they have plenty of amazing tag teams, but I've forgotten about them all. All of them.
Yeah, no, they haven't done a good job. It's just both companies have just completely dropped the ball this year with tag team wrestling. It's funny because TG and I work on the Knocker Awards all year, and that's been the hardest category to fill is tag team of the year, because obviously FTR is on that list. We got Aussie Open on that list. But after that, I mean, the Usos haven't done really anything, so they can't be nominated. The Street Profits have been gone the entire year. Maybe they make a late run here. Sammy and KO, we talked about how underwhelming they were, and they were the champions. Besides that, in WWE, you're not looking at much. NXT is like, are we really going to put Gallus or the Creeds on there? We might have to. And then in AEW, look at this. Like, you can't put the Bucks on it. They've wrestled in, what, 3 tag team matches? So it's been a very weird year for tag team wrestling, and we're going to see it in the Knock Awards at the end of the year.
Joe says they're just going to be transitional champions to the Guns, which, again, I wouldn't hate.
The Bang Bang Gang.
I got to say, huge shocker here. Big Willie picking up the big dub.
Oh, you have to, man. He has like one loss the entire year. He's a stud. That's why they put him with Callis, because they tried the thing with QT, and we're all just like, we're not taking that shit seriously. Hobbs is too good for that. So they had to put him with the biggest heel manager.
You know what I love I love slash hate. Sorry, are we going to say something?
No, you're good.
Okay. Love slash hate is that Hobbs looks like a star, is a star, walks, talks, is a star. Like, you can just see it. He just needs the right opportunity, the right point, you know, the right moment to make it work. But they have had so many starts and stops with somebody like Hobbs. There are other people that can come to mind in AEW that have been starts and stops. And if they had just thought about it a little bit more methodically, Hobbs would be so much more higher. There's other people on that roster that are the same ilk, that they're there. They can do it, but then the ceiling and the floor drop out at the same time and they're free falling. We have no idea what's going on. And I feel like as a viewer, we got so angry before AEW started with just WWE not addressing certain things and just sweeping them under the rug. I feel like AEW does that, but they get away with it for some reason. And I don't understand it, because Hobbs to me is, there's no excuse for Hobbs because he's a stud. You know, like, how do you not find storylines for this guy? So yeah, I'm very happy to see him.
I think they're definitely trying, because it's one of those things, like, his TNT title reign was so short. I thought that was really it. But I think it just, like, they realized pretty quickly, like, this QT thing, such a hokey thing. We don't really want Hobbs to be attached to it. So they kind of, like, had it, whatever. And then it just, he was doing his, like, Books of Hobbs promo. But the feud with Miro was like, okay, you're finally starting to figure it out. But we've just seen AEW struggle to book, like, the Giants. Because they have so many of the smaller wrestlers, and so much of their main event scene is the smaller wrestlers, that they struggle to book like these bigger guys, because they don't want to make all their little guys look bad. So I don't know. It's interesting, but I think they're doing it right now, and having him representative of like the heavy for this new faction, I think really works.
We're going to take a quick pause from what we're talking about, as Adam Cole is now mowing grass. I can only imagine.
He has an Extron shirt on.
I can only imagine what the hell is going to go on with this. This is,
hopefully they have audio this week.
Yeah, I know. That was a rough go. But I will say this. So we give a lot of shit to Tony, but when he saw that, he asked for more overtime after the 10 o'clock hour, which I thought was great. So I just, for me, I mean, those are the things that matter. If there was a fuck up, at least he got his overrun and perfectly fine. I love what they're doing with Adam Cole. I'll have more on it in my hope. Because I think that this is where we're headed. At least
let's do it right now, baby.
Is we just going to go to hope?
Yeah, there's nothing else to talk about.
Okay.
Glorious.
So here's my only hope, right? Here's my hope. As I was watching this, I was thinking about this in my head. I put it out as a tweet, but I think it bears repeating here, folks. What they had last week on Dynamite was I think the Bang Bang Gang had jumped MJF and stolen his title. And they were doing this whole thing about somebody had stolen MJ's match to schmuck. Here's what I would love to see book. Is that Adam Cole and MJF started out as friends, right? That he showed him that you can have friends, Max. You can have friends. So clearly Adam Cole is either getting surgery or dealing more with Roddy, it seems like here. And he just wants to be kind of doing his thing. However, MJF gets beaten up. And then we saw last week in the background, he gets massaged by Max and freaks out and calls him a stalker. But what I think is going to translate here, I guess for me, would be what I would love to see here is they're going to end up doing something very interesting, and that's that they can have MJF eventually befriend the Acclaim and Billy Gunn, and that's their foursome. Then Adam Cole comes back and says, dude, what about me? And then there's the whole thing where they turn on him. And so now it'll be the Kingdom, Roddy, and Adam Cole against MJF and the Acclaim, his old friend versus his new friends. And like, I think there's going to be a cool thing where they could have war games into it. I think that'd be very, very cool, because I think that's a very interesting topic that they can have, is they went from him not having any friends to now having like multiple friends. It's pretty interesting for me. And I think this is a great long-term story. Excuse me, I can't talk. But it's interesting to me. I think it's very interesting. So that's my hope, that we get all that acclaimed finally with MJF, Adam and the Kingdom and everybody else on the other side in War Games, and it'll be fun.
Yeah, I can see it.
You just poo-pooed my hope.
I didn't poo-poo it. I just didn't acknowledge you. Yeah,
your boy OC is about to win back to the title.
I mean, he probably should. He probably shouldn't, because he should probably like move on. But I mean, it wouldn't be the worst thing they ever did. But my hope is on Monday Night Raw, and it's watching KO. Because look, clearly the Sammy and KO thing, the tag team run is probably mostly over. They're going to do this little friends thing. But what I'm looking for now is I want KO to turn heel, and I know we've seen him turn on Sammy before and whatever, but it's just like, KO, it's just like he just seems like he's kind of like been like Drew. He's like that frustrated superstar, which is kind of there. Obviously, at the end of Fastlane, he kind of did the makeup thing, but I want like continuing things to happen where Sammy just frustrates KO, whether it's something he does at War Games or this and that, or he stops him, or maybe KO gets an opportunity and Sammy inadvertently messes it up, or maybe Sammy wins that opportunity instead. I want to have more dissension with this, and who knows, they might lead it all the way to WrestleMania. So maybe like you do a heel turn, like in the Royal Rumble or something like that. But I just like, that's what I'm looking at. Cause I'm like, KO, he's one of those guys that you forget how amazing he really is until like, cause you just need to be reminded every now and then. A lot of the times I think they know with him, it's just like, oh yeah, you can just go out there and do his thing. They don't have to put an effort, but it's like, they got so many talent, like in this little like Cody and Friends quartet, especially, that it's just like, KO's just felt like a forgotten guy. Even like the whole thing, like when they won the tag titles, he was second fiddle to Sammy. I'm done with KO being second fiddle, man. He's the guy where I think Gunther, as of right now, would be my Rumble pick, but I think KO would be an awesome Rumble pick as well to take on either Seth or Priest or whoever the heavyweight champion is at WrestleMania, or even KO at Money in the Bank next year. Have him carry that thing around and maybe him be the guy, because I'm ready for a KO world title run. Now that we have, especially since we have those split titles again, a heel KO as the world heavyweight champ, I think he'll bring prestige to that title between his promos and his matches, and he's just good, man. So that's my hope. It's kind of a long-term thing because we obviously know they're not going to do it anytime soon, but I want them to continue to leave us little breadcrumbs like you alluded to earlier about Triple H. And so that's JC's hope this week. Hashtag JC knows. Hashtag JC's hopes come true. Hashtag third person JC. Hashtag KO eventually turning heel and a little funnel on the way.
Hashtag, hashtag, hashtag. Your hash browns are hashtags, for crying out loud. Jesus, you got so many hashtags.
Who doesn't love a good hash brown?
Well, we know that the doctor goes to Waffle House, so you know, yeah, that is what it is. That man looks like he's been into a couple of Waffle Houses. Anyway, hope he feels better.
He's back in about 12 hours, so he better feel better.
Well, if he helps you anyway.
He better.
Something I wanted to bring up very quickly before we get into the hope. Sorry, this is kind of scatterbrained, but we didn't get to talk about this very quickly. Heyman called LA Knight the next megastar. I feel like that to me is the kiss of death for LA Knight personally.
I don't think it's a kiss of death, but we kind of talked about this off the air too. I don't love it, because when he did that, he was walking behind Solo. I thought he was going to like be like Solo's the next megastar. I would have liked that better. But it's just like something, it's the WWE hype machine. Like they use people like Heyman and Cole, where it's like you can just tell it's so contrived and forced that don't really love it. Sorry, I was distracted. Tegan and Lyra were having a backstage promo, and it just made me happy. But yeah, now Cena's on screen, so I'm not distracted anymore.
I was gonna say, thank God you had closed captioning.
Yeah,
I love this. Like, I'm not watching what's going on really, because I'm only gonna read what TJ and Joe write. But it almost looks like, I know this isn't the case, but Cena keeps wandering around. It almost looks like he's
just walking around. He's having
like
a tour.
Yeah, he's like, huh, never been here before. Interesting. Oh, okay. Is that where I park my car, in the middle of the fucking driveway? Sure, whatever. It's fine. But the other thing I wanted to bring up here, and I don't know how you feel about it, but It is interesting to me. Let me see if I have it here before I get into it. But I'm trying to figure out where I left it. Shit. Oh, well, it fluttered into my brain and now it's gone forever.
Well, if it comes back, we can hit it in the finish. But let's hit the comeback right now in WrestleMania, because okay, this is war. My comeback goes to Wardlow, who finally returned. We kind of talked about it earlier with Hobbs. This is a guy who's had a lot of start and stops, but it was nice the way they did it. They did like the little pause, the little pregnant pause there before his music hit and he came out. It was nice to see the crowd pop for him. Like, look at Wardlow has been just a natural crowd favorite in AEW that they just haven't figured out how to book besides the MJF stuff. So nice to have him back. I'm sure he'll probably be on the show tonight, I would hope. With this big show, we obviously haven't seen him yet. We're about 45 minutes in, but it was nice to see him back. I've been a big Wardlow fan. I think he's an absolute stud. I just want them to be able to figure out what to do with him because the guy is damn good. So Wardlow, you get my comeback this week.
My comeback goes to one Xia Li. I was excited to see her on the program. One of the best entrances ever. And our shout out to our boy Ray Ray for sure. I love her. I think she's fantastic. She deserves it. The one thing that threw me off again, and you're going to say it doesn't matter because you will fucking say this all the time. But I don't like when WWE does this where they have these amazing matches. Like they had Becky and they had Tegan. That was good enough. You could have taken the Xia Li promo and put it after that match. You didn't have to put it before the match. I felt like by doing that for me, it's already a foregone conclusion that Tegan Knox isn't winning.
That's where you're wrong because I think this is how... This is what people should be doing. People should constantly want shots at the championship. Like, it's one of those things. They don't care. Like, even if they assume, whatever, you can say, oh, assuming Becky's a champ. It's like, well, they still add. I mean, it's the thing. You advertise all the time. The winner's going to face. It was the winner of Becky and Tegan are going to face Lyra at Halloween Havoc. But I just like it because if someone's walking around with a championship, you have so many people, especially in the back, that we don't see on TV. It's like it's good that they should want to go for championships. That's why they do it. So I like when they do shit like this. I don't care if it's before the match. I don't care if it's during the match. I don't care if it's after the match. I want it all the time, baby. It creates more intrigue. There should be more people doing this for Seth's championship. Make that thing a little more interesting.
So you don't care that it downplayed the fact that Tegan
doesn't downplay it though, because it's one of those
things. It does too.
No, because all these people can be like, oh yeah, I want a shot at you. And then like the Young Bucks thought they were going to get a shot at FTR. Now they're not. It just is one of those things. You want a shot at the championships. You assume the current champion will have it, but it doesn't always work out that way. Sometimes they lose before.
I don't agree with that at all. I think that's a dumb take, personally.
You're a dumb take. It's stupid. It's like, you know, so you can't ever complain again about like championships not having contenders. Like, that's how you build intrigue in it. And everyone in the back should want a shot at these championships. That's how it should work. Doesn't matter if it's before a match, after the match, or during the match. Like, all the time. Xia Li should have been doing this every week. By the way, Orange Cassidy won it back. So,
what a fucking nightmare. What a fucking nightmare.
They hit the reset on that one.
Jesus Christ. Like, so that guy was literally the best. Spoiler alert, he'd probably be best champion for the Knocker Awards. He was the most consistent champion throughout all of wrestling this past year. But the fact that he has it back now is just like, what are we fucking doing? Like, what are we fucking doing?
He's going to have better matches now every week, so I don't hate it.
But wasn't he on like the cusp of just like injuring himself, you know?
Well, no, yeah. I mean, I would have loved this. Like, we see it all the time when a guy loses to send him to take on like MJF or whatever, but obviously he's not doing that. So I guess just stick it back on him because look, like you said, he was the best champion. The Moxley thing was unfortunate. No one has given a shit about Phoenix as the champ, so just hit the reset button.
Here comes Cena. I'm sorry about asking this, but by the way, it's Cena versus Tony Storm right now. But
timeless.
Did they give a reason for Moxley not being able to, was he not cleared?
I think he's just injured.
Okay. Well, they had him on the graphic. That's why I just didn't know.
I think he's just injured.
This is really bizarre to see John Cena
on NXT.
It's crazy. So is what it is. And then Tony Storm, of course. How do you miss Tony
Storm? Tony Storm's in picture in picture though. So what are you watching?
I'm seeing Tony in full.
Oh, well, she's picture in picture on either you're behind, might be behind then.
Well, it says lovers layment. Okay. Well, that, why would they put that in picture in picture is beyond me. How can you even see what she's doing in picture in picture? This seems like a terrible thing to do.
Yeah. John Cena's on the other channel. Everyone's flipping.
But Tony Storm is the best thing they have going.
Yeah. But she's not John Cena and she's in picture in picture.
No, but what I'm saying is like, Maybe I'll have to go back and watch it, but it just feels like, why isn't she?
Tony Khan expected Cena to come out at 8:45. He probably expected him at the top of the hour. So it's when they put together their show, they probably weren't expecting this to be going against John Cena.
Ay, ay, ay. This is too much.
Shawn Michaels wins again. Best booker of the year. Won't be a knocker award, but if it was, it'd be Shawn Michaels, and it's not even close.
Unfucking real. Unfucking real. The man himself, John Cena, screwing up everything. Everything, I say. Anything else you want to talk about before we I don't want to say close out, but is there anything else that you would want to talk about that we didn't get a chance to?
I mean, no, because we're coming off a pay-per-view. We hit on the big things. We're in the big finish now in WrestleMania. We can look ahead to SmackDown because I don't know if you noticed, but SmackDown and Raw are stacked next week because it's the good old season premieres, whatever that means. But SmackDown, Roman Reigns returns. The Tribal Cuck is back, baby. Triple H is going to have a very important announcement, Tony Khan style. So God knows what he'll say, but we'll get the whole fucking dog and pony show. And then your boys, Pretty Deadly, return to the ring to take on the Brawling Brutes.
I'm excited for Pretty Deadly. Probably going to get my comeback, honestly, because I love those guys. But it is a lot of fun. It is an absolute blast to watch Pretty Deadly. I am curious to see what Triple H's announcement is. I hope that's the songing half of the tag titles, but I doubt that very much.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it with who they just put them on.
He'll probably just say War Games, and that'll be
that,
it.
That was my guess, is Triple H is going to come out. He's going to talk about Crown Jewel and hype that up and talk about how great Fastlane was. And at the end, he's going to be like, but we do have Survivor Series coming up. And he's like, I have a special guest that I want to bring out to say something. And out will come William Regal, and he'll go, War Games.
So my only thought about that was, is Regal technically cleared to do that? Because I think there was something on his contract that said he couldn't appear on TV for a year. Or something like that. I don't know. I'm just saying. This is where John Cena parades himself out and talks about how he's grateful. That's probably all it is right now. And he's going to get interrupted by some buffoon, I'm sure. So
he says it's honored to share space with you. And the crowd's like crying because I love Cena.
Well, yeah, because he's Mr. George Jords. So yeah. Who wears George Jords? Sorry, couldn't help myself.
Oh, my goodness. Well, WrestleMania, Monday Night Raw is also stacked. But we start with the most stacked match of them all. It is Natalya versus Piper Niven. Yeah, that's not one of the stacked matches, but that's on the card. They booked that. That's a match that is happening next week. But there are four other matches they booked for Monday. Speaking of Wardlow, that might come back. He has just come out on Diamond Night. He looks angry and he has hair. But the other matches are a false count anywhere between Ricochet and Nakamura. I'm looking forward to that. Ripley versus Baszler. Finally, Ripley taking on some top competition. We have the IC title match like we talked about earlier, Bronson Reed and Gunther, potential meet match of the week nominee. And the tag titles, probably the main event, Cody and Jay defend against the Judgment Day.
I think that that's interesting. The Judgment Day probably won't win. I'm sure there's some chicanery there that'll end up happening with Priest. But the rest
or
of it...
Or maybe JD helps him win it back and this whole thing was pointless.
Oh my God. I don't think I can do this anymore. If that's the case, if they keep winning these titles back, I think I'm just going to get fatigued with the Judgment Day already. That's just how I feel. But that's
just the priest. The priest thing. It just feels so imminent. Like I think Crown Jewel is the spot. It just with that, you can use the Drew stuff. It's just like, I feel like he has to be champion now. Cause it's one of those things. Like the longer you wait, the closer we get to the Rumble and WrestleMania. You know what I mean? And he either needs to be established by then or lose it by then. So we got to get the show on the road.
Yeah, it's a tough watch sometimes because I feel like I'm waiting for something to happen and we're just kind of at a point where it just isn't happening for me. So I don't know. It is rough. Oh, who's he getting interrupted by?
Bron Breakker, of course. It's cornering his opponent.
Brother.
Wardlow, quick work for him. He just powerbombed and he's already gone.
Bye-bye, Matt Sydal. Was it Matt Sydal? I couldn't tell him picture-in-picture.
I think it was just random jobber.
Okay. Does his Tron say, I got the dog in me? Is that what it said? I got the dog in me.
Got that dog in me.
Man, I want to Photoshop Bron Breakker as Dog the Bounty Hunter. It would perfectly work. They have the same fucking build and head. Like, it's just, it would work. This is interesting to see these two go at it, because I don't know if we'll ever see Bron Breakker versus John Cena in my life, but it'll be interesting if we ever get it.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, Bron's going to, but this time next year, Bron will be on the main roster. So if Cena comes a calling.
It says no water, just meat. That's all it says in my closed captioning. So anytime I see meat, I think of you. Again, I hope everybody's enjoying this bonanzas kind of day, because I don't think we're going to get it again for a very long time.
It was kind of a weird thing. We were kind of lukewarm at doing it, but people seemed like excited about the idea. So we're like, well, throw it on. That's why I'm in my living room tonight. So not the most comfortable setup and, you know, whatever, but it works. And watching Adam Hayman Page, baby, and John Cena and Bron Breakker.
All right, is there anything else, or would you like to get the fuck out of here?
I think that's it. I mean, it was kind of worked out that this was kind of a reaction episode as well, because they're just like, when you get these premium live events, and especially when it's kind of not a lot going on, like this is only one show to talk about, and we don't even have to really preview AEW because it's on right now. So
it's a rough one. I'll be curious. So before we go, last yes. minute question, because I know you're a honk. Does Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné show up at the end of this tonight?
I don't think so.
Because some people were saying putting your girl Sheeta and Paige in the main event and then having her stare down Paige at the end of it. So
they could. I feel like that's better served at an actual, like, something that people pay a lot of money for.
That's a very good point. I feel like we've talked about
that would feel, especially because when you're going head to head like this, if you do something like that, you almost want to happen earlier because you're doing it for people to change the channels. You do it to close the show. Well, then the show's over by the time people see it. You know what I mean? So you're not really mm-hmm. benefiting of it. The only way it could work is since they're doing the run over, if she came out a few minutes before. But then again, it's like, if they're doing the run over, is they just going to stare at each other for 10 minutes? Like, it's, I don't know. That's why I don't think it's a spot. I think it's just anytime AEW has a big show or something, like, it's going to continue to come up because mm-hmm. Mercedes is definitely going to be in there at some point. Whether she goes back to WWE or not, like, AEW is definitely going to be a pit stop on her way. So it is inevitable. I personally just don't think it's tonight. And who knows? Maybe if you're listening to this tomorrow when it happened, then we look like idiots. But
that was the roll of the dice. We could look like idiots either way because we are idiots most of the time. But we definitely look like fools if we are talking out of turn. But it is what it is. Is what it is. On that note, I think we're ready to hit the hay here. What do you think? Good?
Yeah, let's get out of here. Oh, a programming note. I believe next week we're on Wednesday. So that's why if you guys are listening at this point, we will not. We will be video on Wednesday and audio by late Wednesday night, early Thursday morning. So.
All right. On that note, thank you for listening to Jabberknocker. And we'll be back next week with more Jabberknockery.
Yeet.